Save the date for the Greenville Nursing and Rehab Open House at 400 East Hillview in Greenville, Illinois, Thursday, November 8th from 4 to 6 p.m. Join them for a tour of their beautifully remodeled facility. Light appetizers will also be served. Greenville Nursing and Rehab provides short-term rehab to home, long-term care, respite care, and contracted hospice services. For more information, contact Merle Taylor, Director of Compliance, WLC Management Firm, LLC, at 618-534-0170. That's 618-534-0170.
Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I am Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 301.
We didn't change it up. I was thinking about changing it up, and I went, no, I didn't do it. So that's okay. We don't have to.
We don't.
No, we just leave it as it is. That's cool.
It's tradition, Don.
It is tradition, and if nothing else, traditional. This is the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette magazine.
It is, and we're traditional with a hint of think outside the box. I'm not I'm going to say, I believe that can sit side by side, especially in the world today. Thinking outside the box used to be the traditional way America was, how we were created, how the American Revolution and how the Industrial Revolution are both perfect examples of thinking outside the box while being traditional. We took all those values that brought us into a nation.
Yeah. And said, okay, world, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. You either like it or you don't. And we don't really care if you don't like it. And that was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. We ran with that. We as a nation.
We ran safely with that until 1812, whenever Britain decided maybe they wanted us back. And we said, no. Because Johnny Hurton even wrote a song about it.
He did. That's off the wall and out of there from nowhere, isn't it? But it shows that the spirit of America, the spirit of independence, the spirit of self-reliance, all of which we write about, talk about in the magazine, and then, of course, on the podcast. And it's how we kind of try to live our lives.
Well, yeah. And we've got a big thing coming up here on Tuesday. That will, I said to myself and in the magazine that the 6th of November won't make any difference at all on the 7th of November because it's two sides of the same coin that are sitting there battling each other, and it's trading tit for tat. It's, unless you decide to be the change and make a change in our lives, and take a libertarian stand or take a stand on principle, then this is exactly what we'll always get, what we've got right now.
Well, and the beauty of our election cycle is, especially here in Illinois, is it doesn't have to be an either or tit for tat. It can be, like you speak of, that change. And everyone that's read the magazine and heard us talk knows that we bring our libertarian philosophy not only to our political choices, but to the way we live our lives. And we were talking the other day when we were out delivering the November issue of the Owl Creek Gazette about stewardship and how we see that applying to liberty. Often it's used about stewardship with the earth or in a Christian perspective of stewardship, helping each other,
or
taking care of each other.
Stewardship.
Right. And I looked at you and I said, stewards of liberty is what our founders were and really what I believe they compelled us all to be.
Well, yeah, exactly. And being a steward of anything means that you accept responsibility for your actions and accept responsibility for the outcome of the system by which you are maintaining.
Well, and you take care of it and you address issues when something comes to threaten the earth or your faith or your home or whatever you're being charged with being a steward of, you have to sit up and say, wait a minute.
Ein kleiner Moment, bitte.
Exactly. I knew you were going to say that. And I think that maybe that word steward is an important word when applied to liberty. I don't know that it's been used, and maybe it's been used a lot, and I've just never put two and two together. But I see it as a more peaceful look at how we can address the need for independence and self-reliance and freedom and our liberties today. And I know, of course, obviously, during the American Revolution, there was some stewardship going on, and there was some really necessary physical and unfortunate violence that had to happen to break away the chains. And we don't want anything to do with that kind of revolution now, but we certainly want to claim that stewardship that the founders, like I said, really gave to us, laid it in our laps.
Right. It's here. Take this. This is yours. It's a republic if you can keep it. Remember? So, you know, so we talk about, you know, I talked earlier about Republicans and the Democrats being opposite sides of the same coin, which means, you know, in essence, they are the same thing these days. There's very, very, very little distinction.
And I think that someone strongly relating to the Republican Party and someone strongly relating to the Democrat Party would not understand where you're coming from on that. And I think just for a quick explanation is that they both want government involved in our lives more than we as libertarians want government involved in our lives. They may come at it from different laws and bills and assessments, but still we're uncomfortable with that much government coming at us from any angle, whether it's like they say, get out of the bedroom, get out of my wallet, get out of my life, when I feel that I can manage it quite well. Thank you very much.
Yeah. There's been a meme floating around on Facebook that we've seen and enjoyed, and it's from Gary Johnson, the two-time governor of
New Mexico,
and a presidential candidate at the same time last cycle. When you, this is cool, and it's because, you know, people think that you're wasting your vote when you vote for a libertarian. What other people are telling you about it is what Gary's got to say here. When someone tells you you're wasting your vote, recognize they don't care about you. It's a selfish statement. They are saying your beliefs aren't worth being represented, that you should silence your voice so that theirs can be louder. Vote your conscience, not someone else's politics. And I think that said, that statement was made the best I've ever heard an argument against, you know, wasting your vote crap.
Right. And when you said earlier that we have something big coming up, not you and I, we're talking about the whole nation. And that is the election, of course, on November 6th. And that goes directly, that quote goes directly to the heart of that. When he was running for president as a libertarian, he basically heard that same old worn out, tired excuse, can't vote for a libertarian or whatever, the Green Party, the Constitution Party, independent candidates, whoever is not on the status quo R&D lineup.
Yeah, and, well, you think about Illinois, for example, and the $176 million that has been raised by Pritzker to buy that office of governor.
Well, and I don't even know how much Rauner spent. It wasn't near that much or raised himself. But I hesitate to say that he spent it to buy the office because I know what they – I know the connotations that we know that – with that kind of money, it's hard not to win.
Right.
Let's say that. But and Cash Jackson, who is a libertarian candidate running for governor, I think has spent raised $25,000.
Yeah.
And he made a really wonderful point of that on the stage. The one debate they let him in, which is disheartening and infuriating, all at the same time that they only let third-party candidates in one debate when, you know, the Rauner and Pritzker had ample time to say over and over what they wanted to at each other and at us, not for and with. But back to Cash's point, his point was, based on campaign spending alone, he was the only fiscally conservative candidate running for governor on the stage or on the ballot.
Well, you know, with Cash doing a $25,000 campaign to get into the governorship, it would be astounding if he got 4, 5, 6, 7% of the vote. It would be a landslide if he got 6, 10, 12% of the vote just because he could, if people would simply vote their conscience and realize that they're not going to be making a difference with Pritzker, and they're not going to be making a difference with Rauner, and they're not certainly not going to be making a difference with the guy that was take your pick on who's got McCann's back for this last 2 weeks. We've heard both sides have been putting money into the McCann campaign, so who knows at this point. It's crazy what they've done with this. You've got a Republican that's running as a conservative against another Republican and a Democrat. So, you know, McCann's put up this conservative party as something that's real, and it's not even a party either. They don't exist. You can't find them on a website anywhere.
Well, there's a National Conservative Party.
But not in Illinois.
But not in Illinois. At least the last time I went to their website, you would click on your state to see how you could help build the Conservative Party, or if it existed already in Illinois.
There was nothing there.
Right. And they were saying, come join us and help build this. You know, there's nothing available in your state right now. So that was disheartening to hear. We know libertarians have been around Illinois for years and, well, decades.
Yeah.
And so we know what the libertarians go through to get on the ballot. We've been a part of that mission for many election cycles.
Well, we're tired of it. And here's what you need to do. And this is what I said. Vote your conscience and vote for the principled person running in whatever office it is. Make a decision. See if this person that you're voting for has got a principle, a principle to stand on for anything. And if they do, hold them to the fire. Hold their feet to the fire and make them back it up. Back up your principle. I don't care if your principles are that, you know, what your principle is, but stand by something, for God's sake. And that's what we're lacking. Nobody stands by anything. They blow around and waft around like a feather in the wind.
Well, generally speaking, the people who have run for office and continue to run as career politicians, you can catch them in lie after lie, and I can't say all of them because I've not done the research from all of them, but the people that are most out there that you can, you know, grab a clip off the internet somewhere and you can check what they said at one point in time and double check it against another thing, and far too often you will find them in conflict with their own opinions. Now, that said, there's nothing wrong with getting new information in and changing a stand. If you ran for office, believed in something, got new information, investigated, had a crash course in consciousness, I don't care what happened, and you saw that you had been mistaken.
Earn it. Own it. Become
exactly.
Part of it.
Exactly. And then say that outright. I would think that if you were Republican looking at becoming a Democrat, you would be right in the middle of libertarianism. If you were a Democrat thinking about becoming a Republican, I think right in the middle there is the Libertarian Party. And you would look at that and think, wait a minute, maybe I'm more like these people than I thought. And, of course, we always say that the libertarian philosophy, whether you just live by the philosophy or the party itself, is the non-aggression principle. We oppose the initiation of force or fraud. I think, and I posted this on Facebook, personally, if that philosophy was practiced, it would end what ails us. Because you don't even have to like someone else to know that if you believe in the non-aggression principle, you have no right to harm them. You cannot initiate. You cannot aggress against them. You cannot commit fraud against them. It takes care of all the problems. It's beautiful. I love the philosophy. That said, one more thing we wanted to add to that. You and I were talking earlier too, Don, that the Libertarian Party and any other third party or any other independent out there cannot take the blame for what is wrong with Illinois, the state, or the nation. We've not had a chance to govern. we've not sat in those seats and made promises and then failed to keep them. Although a libertarian, if they believed in the non-aggression principle and practiced it, could not, because they could, that would be fraud and they couldn't do it. So if you're really dissatisfied with the way the state of Illinois is, the condition it's in, and who wouldn't be? I mean, we're broke. The state is broke. So who are you going to blame? If Republicans or Democrats could have fixed this and wanted to fix this, hasn't there been ample time?
You would think so. None of this is a libertarian's fault.
Right. So when you're scared to vote libertarian, personally, I'd be scared to vote Republican or Democrat at this point.
Yeah.
They're the ones that have got us into this mess. Let's give somebody else a fighting chance to get us out. It just makes sense to me. It's logical. If you just follow, you know, A plus B equals C, well, takes me right to libertarianism.
What did they used to say? You know, if you always vote the way you've always voted, you're always going to get what you've always gotten.
Right. And there we are.
Yeah. We don't want that anymore. We're done with that crap.
So I think, you know, we hear people being afraid and they'll say, you know, a vote for an independent candidate or a third party candidate takes votes away from someone else. And what we always want to stress here is that no one owns our votes but us.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether a libertarian or a third party candidate is in the race or not, you know, Republicans and Democrats don't own our votes.
You don't have to vote for one of them.
No. That's another thing, too. You can go to the polls and you can vote for exactly who you want to that's running for office. And you don't have to vote for every single office being elected.
If a guy you like is running for dog catcher, you can go vote for him.
And vote for no one else on that ballot.
It
doesn't make the ballot invalid. That's monumental. And I think that people don't all know that. We didn't know that years ago.
So right there on the State Board of Elections website. Right. I will challenge anybody to say otherwise.
Right. So you can go and vote, you know, just who you believe in and leave everybody else out of the mix if you want to. Or you can go and step up and vote. This has been really interesting here in Greenville. We've seen signs up in yards for libertarian candidates, Republican candidates, and Democratic candidates in the same yard. And I love that because at the state level, they're going libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
But on the local level, they know that they have individuals that they prefer for one reason or another to hold office, and it's crossing party lines. And I thought, isn't that the beauty? That's libertarianism in a nutshell. Very seldomly do you see in a non-libertarian yard Republicans and Democrats and third parties put anywhere else, you know, put yard signs up. I think that speaks so well of libertarianism, open-mindedness.
Absolutely. And, you know, I will give kudos to one thing that we saw this morning on CBS News on Sunday morning was a young man and a young woman in Vermont, I believe it was, had a debate. And when they were all done with the debate, they asked if they could have a few minutes because they'd like to do a duet.
Well, the beauty of that was that one was a Republican and one was a Democrat, and they were running for the same office and had been campaigning
against each other
actively.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So the bottom line is they did this duet about their about the situation in the world as it is and in front of them. And now there are even people in this little town in Vermont, I guess it is, that have both got the same sign or got both signs in the same yard.
Right.
So that's just dang cool.
Right.
And it's not because dad wants this one and mother wants the other one. That's not the case. They, you know, maybe only one person lives there. They want them both, and it doesn't matter who winds up being in office.
And it was a way to show unity.
Yeah.
Of course, my first question was, I wonder if there's a libertarian running for that office, and they just didn't bother to include him in the debate or the. And we've seen that so much. And you talk about libertarians not raising the kind of money that the other parties have, the other candidates, and we talk about the chances of getting name recognition enough to win an office when you have so little money to spend comparatively. But if people hosting the debates, whether they be national organizations like the League of Women Voters, whether they be, you know, newspapers, whoever are holding these debates, if they would consciously, intentionally invite third-party and independent candidates to go up against and share their ideas in debate after debate, then I would think the money would be less important, and I think people would actually know what the candidates stand for. I believe, and you and I have talked about this, most libertarians and third-party supporters feel the same way, that it's directly intentional to not allow them in the debates. The Republicans and Democrats as a whole don't want another voice heard. That's so the antithesis of what we're supposed to be in the United States. It breaks my heart.
Yeah, I know personally, you know, I know people right here in this town who have been in this same room that we're sitting in right now. I have seen unconscionable things go on because they believe in their party politics and believe in their party politics to the exclusion of any other potential idea. And it's happened here before. It's happened in front of me, and I'm sick of it.
By unconscionable things, do you mean the way people treat each other?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of that, remember when we had Cash Jackson here?
In this very same room.
So, and that was a beautiful coming together of ideas and opinions.
It was a room full of people that were on polar opposite positions on some political issues, and they had the capacity to sit and talk in the same room and sit and talk and drink coffee and enjoy each other's company.
And it was civil. It was thought-provoking. And I've said it before, it was almost magical that a lot of that had to do with Cash himself. A lot of that had to do with the people that were in the room that wanted to learn more. So it can be done. We've seen it happen. And so like you say, in this room where our studio is, in Adam Brothers Music and Coffee House, we've seen one thing said and practiced. We've seen another thing said and practiced. And we know that people can listen and be civil and educated. And it doesn't mean that everybody left that night in agreement with everything. That's not the point. Although from my personal perspective, I would love everyone to decide to vote a libertarian, because I truly in my heart of hearts believe that that's the most peaceful philosophy and political party there is.
Well, that's true. That is just absolutely truth. You know, I don't know where I can make a large impact on people's opinions about what I just said, but what I said came from, you know, partisan politics and my observations that partisan politics is actually really, I've got to say, one of the downfalls of America.
Well, it wasn't set up to be that way. It wasn't supposed to be a one team against the other team kind of thing. And when I hear people talk about on television, news reporters, and they talk about the bickering between the two parties or both sides of the aisle, I've said this before and in the magazine, let's open up the aisles.
Well, and what we see, what we hear, what we do, what we, you know, everything that we hear about it out of the news media, we see that they're always pitting Republicans against Democrats. It's always a head bashing every time it goes on. And you see the news media on one side, like CNN, for example, just raises Cain and ruckus over the functions of what's going on in the conservative world. And then you got the other conservative channels that do exactly the opposite about the liberal world.
Right. And that's what I started to say was the point is, if we had more than two parties, that would cause that to cease, or at least broaden people's options enough that it could be spoken of regularly. It shouldn't be both sides of the aisle. It should be, we need more than one aisle. I mean, who made that crazy rule? You know, it's no rule. There's nothing in the Constitution that says we have a Republican and Democratic Party. The Republican Party as it stands didn't even exist till Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
So we know this, and we know that we don't have to be limited. And I've used this a lot. I've said, you know, if you go into a grocery store and you could only buy Coke or Pepsi, you'd be outraged. Or you only had two choices of toothpaste.
Yeah.
You'd be madder than a hornet.
Yeah.
So why not be madder than a hornet that the media and the old status quo parties keep insisting we maintain that ridiculous notion that two parties is all we can have? I want it to be libertarian. But, you know, I hope there's a bunch, because when you get up and hear opposing views, as like you said, we were talking about this too, because folks, we talk about this a lot at home, ourselves in the car as we deliver the magazine, wherever we are. And I talk a lot about this with my brother, and we talk about it with our kids. You know, we're not limited unless we allow ourselves to be limited. So when you talk about be the change in every aspect. But when you go to vote November 6th on this Tuesday, try to start to be the change if you're truly dissatisfied. If you're happy with the way things are and you think that one party projects that philosophy and you want that, have at it. But if you really want change, look around at who got us in the mess and who needs to be given a chance to get us out.
And we can do that. You know, we can't do any worse than what's been done already.
Right. Or the mess wouldn't exist.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with the drug war. If the drug war worked, there would be no more war on drugs. It would have won. So since it didn't, you just have to look at things logically. If this works, fine. If it's not and you're not happy with it, reach out for another option. Consider something. There's still time to do that. So we want to invite you, from our perspective, to go to Libertarian Party of Illinois' website. On there, you can see the list of the candidates. We personally know Cash Jackson, Steve Duttner, who's running for Secretary of State, and Claire Ball, who is running for Comptroller.
Mm-hmm.
There are three other candidates running.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sergeant Mohib, Bubba Hersey, and Mike Leaney. Take a look at the website. It's lpillinois.org. And
that will take you also then links to their website if you mm-hmm. want to dig deeper into them. They're also on Facebook. You know, if that's where you find yourself, just check these names out and do your own research. And, you know, it has to start somewhere. Now, like you pointed out, Don, too, in your article, the fact that we wake up on Wednesday morning and our candidate didn't win, whoever that candidate was. And I'm not meaning you and me. I mean mm-hmm. anyone, when you go to the polls and vote, if you hope for something and it doesn't happen, then, you know, there's no need to be devastated, because then you pick up the reins and you run in a different way. You look you can be that change outside the political arena. When we started the Owl Creek Gazette, we even toyed with putting the word libertarian in the title. And we thought, wait a minute, we want to express that philosophy in things outside its name.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's good people on all sides. There's good people from every party. There's good people from all walks of life. And we thought if we could bring that perspective and encapsulate that under the notion of self-reliance and common sense and independence, thinking outside the box, that's a better approach. It's more open. So when Wednesday comes, if everyone would hold true to that kind of philosophy, there's good people on every side.
Yeah, we're all winners at that point.
Right, and then look at the mess we're in. And even though we're all winners individually, we can come together in ways that, you know, if you have an idea to make your community better or a way to teach someone how to do a traditional heirloom skill or can offer to teach a class in the Constitution, whatever it is, continue to educate yourself, each other, share your knowledge, share your experience, and look hard and long at the non-aggression principle, if you would, and encompass that into your own life, no matter what your political R or D or L or C or G behind your name.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a great idea. And there is no reason why that we can't do some of the principles on our daily lives. There's no reason.
Well, and I think really, my brother has pointed this out to me, we do a lot of that on our daily lives. When you come to a stop sign, yes, it's against the law. You'll be ticketed if you don't stop if someone sees you. But we all make those decisions to pause and let someone else pass, to let a person walk across the street that has a bag full of groceries. I mean, we are a kind people in general in our daily lives. And when you think about that and know that we do get along without, you know, causing much trouble with our neighbors or, mm-hmm. you know, a store that we shop in, basically every day we practice the non-aggression principle, then kick it up a notch.
There you go. That's it. Kick it up a notch.
Kick it up a notch, folks, in a very non-aggressive way.
You betcha. Well, hey, you know, I think that's enough. Go out and vote your heart. Don't vote for your favorite team. That's really the key. Vote what's in your heart.
Well, and if you're I still say you can vote for your favorite team, but look around at the teams. You may find there's another team you really like.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's enough for episode 301. This is our first episode into our second 300. Hey, y'all take care now.
Good night, folks, and we'll check back in with you next week and see how it all went.
Bye-bye now.